Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. Everyone has a story to share, and we invite you to share yours on this evening's Personal Experiences episode of Signs of Life Radio. Many of us have had personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking, and we would like you to join us as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, how we can integrate them into our daily lives. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. So you know we want to hear from you, and we want our audience to hear from you, because you never know how important your personal story may be to someone in need of reassurance that there is life beyond the physical world and that it is possible to communicate with and receive signs from loved ones who have passed. So, the call-in numbers for tonight's show are 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. Your co-hosts for this Signs of Life radio show will be Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, as well as Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, the consciousness that is changing the world. So hello, Betty and Janet, and welcome everyone to tonight's show.
Hello, Kim.
And hi, Jen.
Hi, Betty.
You know, I was just listening to the introduction before Kim, and it somehow or other, you know, when he said the survival of consciousness, it just seemed, I don't know, it just struck a chord in me. I'm just thinking, if we really knew, I mean, so fully knew it, and that would spread throughout the culture. What a different world we'd live in if we really knew what you say in your book, spirits, they are here, they are present, and consciousness does survive, and it is here. It's just, it would change how we do everything, wouldn't it, Janet and Kim?
Oh, yes, definitely. It definitely would. I mean, I didn't know if Kim was going to answer.
You go for it, Janet. Yes, of course.
Well, I do. I totally agree, Betty. And I think, too, like, you know, if we were raised to always believe that from the time we were small about our intuition, and if you get a feeling or you have this knowing sense that if you trusted it and if you paid attention to it, I mean, that would change the whole world. And I think that that's why it's so wonderful when I hear, you know, people tell us that, you know, their children, they've raised their children like that. I mean, we, you know, I personally did, you know, where you try to believe in, you know, being open to intuition or a sense of something coming your way. And I think that if you knew that there was consciousness and that on the other side, when it's time for you to go and, you know, you leave your physical, that you move on and that, you know, it's still like a connection, you're continuing. It's not like an end and it's over and there's nothing more. It's like we continue on. And I think that that would really change, you know, like you said, the way that we are raised, the what we believe in, how we think. And I think it would just really, you know, it would be a different world. It really would.
It would change the entire culture and the world and individuals. I was talking with someone the other day who was being physically affected by grief after many years after the death of someone she loved. And I was thinking, you know, if only she could know. I mean, she wants to know it, but she doesn't. And that instead of having grief as a process, because even if we know that they are still alive, those we love, we still have to go through the grieving process of not having them here in the physical world and being able to be with them and create our worlds together. We still are going to grieve for that. But if only we knew, really knew, then we could go through that process and somehow come to terms with it. Because we know that their soul, their spirit, their consciousness is still alive. But I think there is so much suffering and people just get caught in that grief process and it affects their physical body. It affects everything and they can't go beyond it because they just can't know it. And that's due to hundreds of years of a false science, really, a censored science that tells us that there isn't anything else. So that's a hard mountain to climb over.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I think too is, you know, if people would look at it differently, you know, when your time is, you know, over and you move on, I think if we would remember they're not in the past, they continue on in our present, just in a different space, I think that would change some thinking as well, because, you know, it would help you kind of move with it instead of being stuck or trying to reevaluate, like, you know, okay, now I'm reevaluating my life. It's changed. It's nothing like I thought it would be. And suddenly you're kind of like, okay, that's true. But also our loved ones are also still moving with us, you know? And I think that kind of opens you up to a lot of different thinking as well.
Oh yeah. That they are creating, you know, they right. are very, very busy creating worlds and creating, working with our world to help to heal us because we are a planet very much in need of healing. So I think, yeah, they're very busy and would want to work with us. But if we're in grief, we can't really work with them very well.
True. And you have to work through your grief. I understand that. But I also think, like you said, too, is, you know, they're busy over there. They're you know, and I have a quick little story I'll share is, you know, we do this every month. And usually almost every month, there's something little that happens in my office, like the day of our radio, of the radio show. And this morning I walk in my office and I have these four crystals that they stand about 3 to 4 inches tall. And they've been on my desk for years. They've been in the same spot. I, you know, dust and put them back exactly where they are. And they've just always been there. And I walked in this morning and the first thing I saw was one of them was laying sideways on the, you know, on the desk. And I thought, well, that's interesting because that would not be necessarily the one that you would think would fall if you'd hit the desk. If you hit it really hard, I have a really, really big, heavy desk. So, you know, it takes a lot to make something on my desk move. So for it to be laying sideways, kind of facing towards me, I just kind of, you know, you kind of do like a little nod, like, okay, they know that what tonight is. And they're just letting me know, you know, that be ready. There's, you know, for whatever stories come your way. And it just is always kind of a nice little thing to think, you know, they're over there and, oh, who was this? Was it the same person that does it every month when Signs of Life comes on? Or is it, you know, somebody different? And it just always kind of makes me smile and think about, you know, what's going on over there? What are they up to? What are they doing? You know, and I'm sure they're super busy and they don't want to just be knocking my crystals around, but it's kind of funny that I have different things move because I've, you know, pretty much people who know me know this is what's happened in my house is that things have moved often. And I just always have to smile because I think, you know, they're always trying to remind me of something or let me know about something. And I think, you know, if we all had that, if everybody would open up to that and just simply, you know, take notice or be aware or be open to it, how many more things in their life would happen that they can connect with a loved one on the other side, a friend on the other side, you know, whoever that they want to connect with. And that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I'm still having fun with them. They're still around. And it kind of just always makes me feel good. Like, you know, I wish more people would, you know, talk about that. Like, well, you know, I had that experience, but I didn't want to say anything. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no, share, you know? And I think that's why with us having the show, it's really important because people can share it and they don't have to feel like, oh, you know, I don't know if I should call in or I don't know if I should tell somebody when it's a great story. And it lets other people see that there's so many things that happen around us that if we just take notice, it can be part of our daily life, which is really cool.
Well, you know, I have to say, Janet, I take notice, but I've never seen anything on my desk move. I wish it would sort of straighten itself up, but I haven't seen anything move. I think you were sort of special in that sense that these things present themselves to you, you know. But I think that, you know, we all receive different in different ways from the other side.
But, right. Well, Betty, and you get a lot of dreams. You know, you have connections are kind of like, I don't want to just call it just a dream, but it's you know, with a loved one from the other side, and you have that connection a lot more than I do. So we, like you said, we all get it in different ways.
Yes, and I think it changes throughout our lives. There was certainly most of my life, I just did dream, and it was so important, and they were certainly guides. The dreams were guides. Now it doesn't come so much in dreams, but I have that sort of that feeling that they're present, and that what I'm doing, they're working with me, and that it, as I said last time, you know, these ideas come to me, you know, and I kind of flow through. And I think that's true for all of us. Even when we don't know, you know, they're flowing through. So it comes in more subtle ways now, I think. And I'm grateful for any connection. But I think now I feel a kind of permanent connection. But I, you know, it doesn't express itself as it used to even. But I do feel it in my work. And I, after both my son and my husband passed, they made it very clear that they were going to be working with me. And I think that they are, you know, that information comes that I might not have come upon myself.
Or books.
Oh, yeah. But everybody talks about that kind of thing, especially, you know, if you're writing or you're doing whatever, is that these things just simply come to you. You're working on something, and then you think to look at this book, and oh, there's something
about it. Or ask. I need guidance.
Oh, yeah.
Where is this book? She can't find it on the shelves. And just, you know, looking like crazy, and just then sitting down and saying, okay,
where is
it? Tell me where it is.
I've done that. My library, I was at one time, it was kind of organized, and it is to some degree, but sometimes I simply cannot find a book. And I remember one time I looked and looked, and finally I just stood in the middle of the room and I said, okay. And so I asked the author, please tell me where that book is. I've got to have it, and I need it today. And it's interesting. Immediately, I walked right to the shelf, and I picked it up. I knew where it was.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, it's weird. I'm grateful for that. However, I have to admit, it doesn't always happen that way.
No, but that's true. And Kim, when you mentioned that, it was like, that is perfect. That is, you have to remember to ask. And Betty, you did that. And I think that... That is a great reminder for any of the listeners to say, you know, ask, you know, if how do you know, you know, somebody said it to me one time, they're like, well, you know, I don't know what to do. And we're like, yeah, just ask. And it's like, it is that simple in a way, but you have to be open. And I think part of it is that the more that you're noticing and the more you're paying attention and you're open and you're aware of that, you're constantly like increasing your awareness of what's around you, which kind of blocks out like the everyday noise. So then it kind of allows it to come through and you can just get it. And that's why when, you know, when I tell people to meditate, that's what it's kind of doing. It's just, you're kind of blocking out the noise. And even if you don't like the word meditate, or you don't want to meditate, you just want to sit in a chair somewhere and just relax and allow the energy to come through. Yeah. And then you're listening to what's going on around you. And then it kind of suddenly blocks out everything around you. And like you did, you just simply asked for, you know, where's this book? And boom, you were so in tune and right in that, like right in that line, that it came right to you and you went right to it. And I think that is what really what we should be doing. We should have been doing all our life is having that, you know, constant being able to do that, because it does create more of a flow around us. And you notice that too, I bet, with, you know, people you're in tune with and that, you know, you hang out with, that you do feel that, you know, that flow. And it's kind of like, it just all keeps going back and forth. And you're like, wow, this is awesome. And that's part of the reason why, is because we're, you know, getting rid of the noise, we're paying attention, we're asking, we're being open. And, you know, and that's what I have to say.
Well, yeah. And it's like maintaining any other relationship. You that's make right. time, you're yeah. open, you solicit, you that's ask, right.
Respect to respect. Mm-hmm. And scientists are now, some scientists are saying that we all exist at the heart of the universe, that to be alive in this cosmos is to be at the heart. Every one of us is at the center of the cosmos, and we are all a part of a hologram. It's a holographic universe, which means that at every point in the hologram, all of the information of the entire field is available to us. Well, that's exciting and phenomenal and unbelievable in a way. But that would mean that if we align ourselves, our heart consciously, with the heart of the cosmos, the earth where we are, that we could open to that full knowledge, really, or at least the wisdom that we need in the moment. But it seems that, I know Jude Kuraven, who's a cosmologist, has said that means that we are all the manifestation of that hologram of the universe, as well as co-creators with it. Mm. That's pretty exciting stuff.
It is. And, you know, and that kind of makes me think then, with saying that, that all of our loved ones who have passed continue to be part of the universe that we can also connect with, you know, it's all part of it. And I mean, that's, I'm just looking at it from that perspective of everyone, you know, whether you're, you know, here on this planet or whether you've zipped out of your body, as I always like to say that, you know, we've left our body and we've moved on, because to me, that's how it feels or comes across when, you know, I feel like I'm in tune, is that they're still around our loved ones, and that we can connect with them. We can connect with the universe. Maybe all together we can get, you know, even more messages or something, you know, hopefully we're together on our planet like we need to. But I just feel like, you know, there's something to that as well. So that's true though, Betty. I like that.
Yeah. And also another image, I think we've mentioned this before though, that our heart has a torus energy field that goes way out, circles out, and circles back in. It can go out 6 to 10 feet. You know, here Kim and I are sitting here, so our heart energy is blending. And it's also known that, you know, if you go to some place and you sit down by someone, that's exactly what's going to happen, that energy is blending. I mean, we have such an effect on each other without even knowing it, that our energy is going way out. We could probably, it could encompass the whole table. And think of someone at a round table, 10 people, I mean, and all their energies mixing like that. But some scientists are saying, think of yourself within this Taurus energy field, because it looks like other forms have that same energy. So the atom, and then you, our cells, and then the earth, and the solar system and the galaxy and the universe there. It's like we're all like the Russian dolls, kind of, except you don't take it apart. Energetically, we are that integral structure, dynamic, moving energy structure of the universe. Mm-hmm. And if we could really become aware of that and know how to be creative within that, I mean, we have unlimited possibilities.
Right. And for people who don't know, the Taurus energy is like a donut around us that kind of circles out and around. Back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's pretty interesting. And this is a little bit less exciting to talk about in terms of our spiritual energies and our love and impact in a positive sense, but remember we had read something, I can't remember who said it was, about the frequency scramblers. It's like, do you ever get in the energy of some people? It's like, oh my goodness, I got to step back a little bit because it so affects us.
Yeah, energy scrambler. That's what it was called.
Or frequency scrambler.
Oh, it's frequency scrambler.
I can't remember who said it.
Yeah. We've all been someplace where our energy was scrambled.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, we have Edie on the line calling in from California. Welcome, Edie.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Great.
We're good.
Better for having received your call.
Yes, we're just talking here to ourselves.
Thanks for stepping up.
Yeah, I just had a really cute little story, a little event that I think you might enjoy.
Great.
My sister passed away about a year ago, and my niece, is having a rough time with it. So she always, whenever we get together, she always asks her mom to show us some signs, you know, like to show herself, you know, to us when we get together. And I found out that my sister's favorite flower are sunflowers. And this is a whole nother event, how I found this out, but I'm not even going to tell you that one today. But anyway, her favorite flowers are sunflowers. So my niece and I went out one afternoon, and I picked her. We were in a parking lot, and we went somewhere, so I took her in my car. We get done with everything that we were doing, and I went to drop her off to her car, and I pulled into a parking space, and we were looking directly at a nail salon. We were looking into the store of the nail salon, and my niece was like, oh my gosh, look at that. And I was like, what? And I looked over, and there's a huge picture of a sunflower at the back of the nail salon, this big painting of a big sunflower. So we both laughed about it and, you know, said, oh, that's really interesting, right? Not 30 seconds later, this girl comes walking down the sidewalk in front of the car, and she's wearing a scarf, a knitted scarf, and it had the biggest sunflowers knitted on this scarf that I've ever seen. It definitely was handmade, and the whole entire scarf was sunflowers all the way down to her knees. Okay,
oh my
so we just looked at each other. I know. We just looked at each other, and we were like, oh my gosh, right? And like, you know, we had the chills, the whole thing. There's Sue, you know, everything. And, you know, we very emotional, you know. So, okay, I drop her off. I leave. I get a text from her that evening. And she said after I dropped her off, she decided to go into a coffee shop that was right near there in that shopping center. She walks into the coffee shop, and she felt something behind her. She turned around, and the girl wearing the scarf was behind her.
Oh my God.
I know. It was like, you know, it's like, what are the chances, right? So she looks at the girl and she said, oh, I love your scarf. And she said to the girl, the girl said, well, my mom made it for me, but she's passed away.
And my niece said,
yeah, well, that was my, and he said, that was my mom's favorite flowers. And she just passed away also. So the girl said, well, I'll be thinking about your mom for the rest of the day. She said, I mean, it was just.
Oh, that's so special.
I mean, you know.
That is beautiful. Yeah. And I mean, the cosmos does have
Go ahead, Edie.
Go ahead.
No,
she always comes with the sunflowers. There's been other events too with the sunflowers, that have been just crazy. You know, too much coincidence. You know, so but you know, I just wanted to share that. I thought it was really special.
Oh, it is special. I mean, it just really said the earth, the cosmos, the spirit has such a sense of humor
in threes.
Threes, yes.
Oh wow!
I mean, it just it's wonderful.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I think it's really, it almost kind of makes you, you know, not only laugh, but or smile, but it makes you laugh because it's like she's having, you know, your sister's having as much fun doing this for you as you guys are finding it, you know? And I think that's really cool that she's popping right in front of you.
I just want to say how much I appreciate you guys to also, you know,
doing
what you do.
I love it.
That's
we love the stories. We love your stories. Yeah. I think it helps everyone who listens that they know their loved ones are out there. And that, like you said, when, you know, you just, even if you question the first, you know, sunflower, like, oh, look, there it is. And, oh, that was really nice. It's sweet. And that's really cool. But then it's like, oh, no, wait, there's more. I have more coming your way.
I know.
And that's what's so cool about it is, you know, they're going to, she's going to make sure she gets it across to you. So that is awesome.
That is
yes, awesome. One time would have been a gift.
That's it.
Thank you.
Right. She just wanted to make sure we didn't, you know, we didn't question it. Yes, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Right.
Have a great
Thanks
evening.
Thanks for calling
Appreciate
in,
it.
Edie.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I love it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that the girl who had the scarf her mother had died, and that was,
yeah.
I mean, the two of them together is so phenomenal.
I know. I was even wondering if it would have been like the two children at the grief retreat, the children of the two parents at the grief retreat.
Why don't you tell that story?
Because I don't get the details as well as you do, but it could have been the two moms put that together.
Oh, wouldn't that be
funny? You know, go in this shop or go in there or somebody say something to the other one, and then you, it could have been the moms were right there the whole time.
Oh, that is interesting.
Right.
Oh, BD's still alive.
You never know.
That is, it could possibly be that the two.
They have tribes and families and friends and.
Oh, yes. Well, Kim is referring to Forever Family's grief retreat in Connecticut. We were there 1 year, and there was one couple that just lost their son, and they were in just deep grief. And there was another couple who had lost their daughter, but some time ago, and they were in better shape because it'd been a while and they'd really worked with the grief. And so near the end, we were all outside in a circle, and the mediums were at work, one medium especially. And suddenly she realized that the son who had passed and the daughter of the other couple who had passed were together on the other side. And they had prepared some presentation for them. And it was just the most miraculous thing.
Right. And the one couple, I think they were from Canada or something, they almost didn't come. And the kids somehow worked it, that they got them there.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I believe it.
It would be interesting if those two mothers did bring that about too. And it's certainly possible. I guess there's someone else on the line, though.
We have Emily from New York.
Oh, hi, Emily.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
I have to tell you, first I have to figure out how to stop my, oh my gosh. Anyway, that's my iPad going, but I'm speaking on my iPhone. My husband of 46 blissful years passed away about a year ago. And I have two signs that he tells me about. The first is he has a computer on the kitchen table that only he ever used. And after he passed, a screensaver came on, which is a scene of a desert, but a blue sky above it with a rainbow. And he suffered. He had pain. He had so many physical ailments, and he kept going and living his life with joy. So I think this represents the desert with his life with pain constantly, and the rainbow is where he is now. And mm-hmm. this comes on spontaneously by itself at random times. I sat down here at the kitchen table with my iPad to listen, and the rainbow is on the computer.
Oh.
And the latest thing is that at night when all the lights are out in the house and the kitchen is pitch dark and I'm getting ready for bed, I look down the hallway and there's the, in pitch dark here in the kitchen is the rainbow. So I know that it's from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a bereavement group after he passed, and that was the first time I heard about mediums and the Forever Family Foundation. So I looked that up and I thought about it and I decided I was going to call a medium, one of the certified mediums.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and there was an answering machine that said, I'm scheduling for January of 2025.
Ooh.
So I said, well, I'm almost 80 years old, so by then I might not need your services. So I was lying on the couch taking my daily nap, and I had the TV on, and I was just waking up, and the phone rang, and her name came on, the caller ID. And I thought, well, maybe she's just calling to make that appointment. But she told me the most unbelievable things, and I tell everybody about this because it was so specific. My husband's favorite thing to do was to garden. And my backyard was kind of a little botanical garden. And he told her many things, that he fell in love with me as soon as he met me, and that I was to say hello to all the kids. We have a blended family, but everyone gets along and loves each other. And that the girls are good. They'll take care of you. Now, I have two daughters. I have no son, only a stepson. So he specifically said, the girls are good. They'll take care of you. But here's the most remarkable thing. He said, he told the medium to tell me to prune the hydrangeas.
Ooh.
And to fertilize And where would that come from, if not directly from him?
Oh, yeah. So that's something.
You know, I tell that story all the time, and that's how I know it was from him. Prune the hydrangeas.
That's beautiful.
So that's my story.
That is.
And then I did make an appointment for January 2025. And if I'm here, I'll be looking forward to speaking to him again. But it's just, when we went to bereavement, we spoke about signs, and there were many women there, many more than, there was just one old crotchety man who was kind of mad that his wife died and wasn't cooking him dinner anymore. And so, you know, we spoke about signs, and I always say, I think as you have said, and we know, we have to be open to it. And, you know, I also, when I'm stuck with something, fiddling with a tool that I don't know how to use, I say, John, please, come on, help me. And he's always there.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Just, it's mm-hmm. so comforting. It's so comforting. My heart is just broken. We work together. We grew up together, and the last 23 years, he had so many physical problems, but he never gave up. And so I do these things now. I'm doing yard work, which I don't even know what I'm doing, really. I pruned the hydrangeas. I'm only dreading what they're going to look like when it's time to bloom. But, you know.
You'll find out.
I will. I hope, I went online and said, how do you prune hydrangeas? And I followed the instructions, so hopefully I did it correctly.
I feel like I
do these things to honor him.
Absolutely.
And he shows and up to honor you. He's quite a manifester, I should say.
Well, that's what the medium said. She said he stepped right forward, and he almost insisted on giving her this information for me.
I like that. He wasn't going to have you wait that long.
That's so nice.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's beautiful because you're working together in the garden, really.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And how wonderful that he's bringing you joy through the rainbows. And then when the flowers bloom, giving you flowers. And I mean, what a beautiful, you know.
I like that so much.
It is. It's a really beautiful thing. I'm so glad you called and shared that. That's really, it's very sweet very loving, and it's full of joy, which is really cool.
And it's wonderful evidence that he would say that to the medium. I mean, that's very comforting.
I know. That was how I knew instantly. It could not have been in any way. She has never seen or spoken with either of us ever. And she had all of this information that was so correct.
Oh,
just one more thing. I had a dream. If I may, just one more.
Oh yes,
I
do.
I had a dream that I was at some kind of a school auditorium, and behind the curtain, and there were so many people milling about, and I was looking for John. And finally, I said, not in a sorrowful way, but in a, here he goes again. He wandered off someplace. I said, well, I guess I've lost my husband now. And I come down from the stage, and he's sitting right there and hands me a bottle of water. Just like thoughtful. He was so thoughtful. And there he was. I couldn't find him. And there he was.
Aww.
So my heart is open to all of it.
Emily, did he hand? I didn't hear what he handed you.
Oh, just a bottle of water.
A bottle of water.
He was
sweet.
Always thoughtful. Always.
Wow.
Always.
You know, like they say, it's the little things.
It is.
Little day-to-day gestures of.
That's what tells the story.
Caring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Where is he? When I was driving him to the hospital for the last time to the emergency room, he had had another bad fall. And I said to him, because we had both been married before, but I said to him, you know, you really are the love of my life. You're the best husband I've ever had. I say it as if I had 10 instead of only one other. You're the best husband I've ever had. And he, being such a nice guy, said, oh, Dick was a nice guy. I said, he was a nice guy, but he wasn't my soulmate. You are my soulmate. And I'm so happy that I was able to tell him that, because he got into the emergency room. They took him for a scan of his head, and he came back and he was totally unresponsive. I said, something's wrong here. And they said, oh, we have to scan him again. We have to look at the vessels. And he had a major stroke.
Oh,
and
my God.
He was in the hospital in neurocritical care for a few days. And every day I'd say, please let him be better. Please let him. And he was never better. He never responded. And finally they sent me the nurses and the PA from a palliative care. And they said, look, he's not going to speak again. He's not going to have any use of his right side. So you can put in a feeding tube, or we can take him to hospice. And I opted for hospice because I knew he had enough. And he was only there about 2.5 days. Right. But his son was there, and his granddaughters and his daughter-in-law and me. And we were all there when he actually passed. So, mm-hmm.
But you got to tell him that, before he went in. That's a beautiful experience.
Yeah,
for both of you.
See, it wouldn't have been the same, because I'm not as nice as he is. So if he said, you're the best wife I've ever had, I would have said, you're damn right. I'm the best wife you ever had. But he was gracious enough to say that my first husband was a nice guy.
But
anyway, I've taken up enough of your time.
No, we've given that.
That's wonderful, Paula. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Well, both of you. And I'll look forward to hearing you again in next month, okay?
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you, Emily.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, no. Paula's coming. It's Emily. Got it. Sorry.
Yes.
Paula, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Thank you for waiting. We are grateful that you stayed with us.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm highly motivated to tell my story.
Great.
Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting a little bit of feedback here, so I don't know. I've turned my sound down. I don't know.
Maybe your phone on, maybe just interference by some other electronics nearby?
I have my computer on, but I had the sound down to nothing.
Okay. Go.
Well, I'll go ahead and speak. Yes, the love of my life, my husband crossed over 14 months ago. And after that, he began coming to me in dreams at night. And I knew that they were not just regular dreams, because I'm very familiar with my dream life. I've been a big dreamer all my life. I remember my dreams, et cetera. And these were visitations. And, he repeatedly came to me in these visitations. And one time he came in his body form, and we talked a little bit, very briefly. And then several other times he came in his spirit form. And we didn't talk. He didn't say anything to me, but he would just hug me and kiss me. And he was so beautiful in his spirit form. So I would say that over the last 14 months, I've had about probably 60 dreams about him, but I would say 20 to 25 of him visiting me.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's pretty impressive. And so I began to really, really pay attention to all of this back in, I don't know, February, March of last year. I didn't go see a medium until the end of the summer, early fall. But I've been to one medium who is an evidence-based medium, and I've been to her 6 times now. And the readings are so interesting, and he always brings something forward that is such validation that it's him. And, you know, because it just connects with me, and I recognize that some of it's kind of silly, but nobody in the world knows about this, you know, whatever he's showing me. So probably about the middle of the summer, I started saying, you know, this is real. This is really him contacting me and sharing with me that he wants to continue to have a relationship with me. And it was a kind of a deciding point for me. You know, do I continue on? I had read Journey of Souls and so many other books as well. And my personal belief is that we do survive this thing that we call death, and that we live in a state of consciousness that we call God. And so I really felt very strongly that he wanted to be with me. He wanted to show me very clearly that he's very, very much there. So then probably about the end of the summer, I began doing some automatic writing, and I heard from him, and I was doing it every day, and I felt like I was making contact with him. And one of the medium that I went to, he said, maybe it would be better to just record what I'm saying. Don't write it all down, because it'll be easier for you if you just record it. So I have my iPhone, and this is what I do today, and I've been doing it for many months. I have my iPhone, I record into the iPhone, and then I make a transcript out of that recording, and I type them all up, and I have them in a notebook. So I don't know what's going to happen with them, but I'm a writer, and I may, you know, produce a book, and I'm pretty sure that he's very supportive of that. Because he wants us to show people and to teach people that this is real, and that there can be communication between the dimensions, and that we support it. We you know, promote it. This is our mission, if you will.
That's good. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, yeah.
I'm interested in, how do you record him, or do you speak what he says into the recorder?
I speak what I hear him say.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, now, wow. I have heard him speak to me. You know, like one of the first things he said to me after he crossed over is, Paula, rewrite the narrative. And I heard it like he was standing there next to me.
Wow,
and then he said something else, very beautiful. And then he said something else to me after I was working on his talk. He was a minister, a unity minister, and he had so many of his Sunday lessons recorded. And in March, in the middle of the night, I was awoken with the idea of that I should take those recordings and turn them into books. And so I've had a lot of help with that, because I didn't have the technology to do it, but a friend did. And so I get the transcripts from him, and I've turned them into books, and there's 3 volumes so far. And
wow.
I think there's going to be 10.
Well, wow. Talk about working together. You two are certainly doing that.
Rewriting the story there with that new narrative.
I love that.
Change the narrative.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, rewrite the narrative. And at first, yeah, I had no idea exactly what he was saying, but I had an idea, you know, I know what it means to rewrite the narrative. It means to change the story. You know, if your storyline is blah, 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 change it to something else.
Oh, I love that. That's so important, Jess. That is everybody's mission, you know, know the true narrative, because it's been so distorted.
And it's beyond knowing it. She's got a responsibility here.
and when you do get ready to publish those books, you should let Forever Family Foundation know, you know, that the books are out there. Well, I'm sure you will, but I mean, that would be one place to be sure you let them know what you're doing, that it's published.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and you know, and I was going to go ahead. I was just going to say when you were saying about you had 3 books written and you were maybe going to do 10, and I was, as I was listening, I thought, you know, it's interesting because it almost seems like you're going through the stages. There's different stages he wants to take the reader through to definitely, yes, change the narrative and to move maybe either slowly or to move in and out of something to get to that next place or that next stage of that next book. And that maybe, you know, as you're looking through those books or as you're, you know, compiling them, you'll start to see the whole picture, because it just seems like if there's 10, it has to be, you know, parts of each, you know, where he's going, you know, in this book, and then where is he going in that book, and then where is this one? And I think it's kind of interesting when I think about it that way, because I'm like, you know, he's taking it slowly, you know, in a way. And maybe it's only at the speed that we can go while we're here to connect with the other side, that, you know, you can do it in a certain way. But I found that really interesting, and I think that's really great. And you know, we've also said, you know, that we're here to change the narrative. And I think that that's important, because we need to do that. We need to, you know, help other people open up to see what is out there, and that we can connect to our loved ones. And look at how, you know, you have this, you know, continued relationship, which actually Betty was talking about earlier when we first started. And it's really beautiful to see that it continues on. So that is wonderful that you're sharing that story with us. You know, we appreciate that.
Yes, we do, Paula. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. And we'll hope to hear from you again as you go along in this.
And I want to make one comment about what you just said. And I don't know who I'm talking to when I say you, but, you know, about evolving and him teaching me and in an evolving way. And he'll start a thread of a topic with the medium, who has a little bit more mediumship abilities than I have right now. And he'll start that thread and that theme, and then he'll finish it with me. And this is what we're going through right now, you know, and mm-hmm. he's teaching me very, very gradually so that I can understand. And the current topic is understanding that past, present, and future are all now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right on.
That's right on.
That's wonderful.
And that makes total sense.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing, you know? So I think that's great that you're understanding that and that you're working with it and helping him work through it, you know, continued on here. So that's great.
Well, thank you. It's very exciting to me. I can hardly wait to get out of the bed every morning, because every day is a new day and I love it.
I can really feel that. And I would be the same way. I think it's wonderful. And we cheer you on your way.
That's right.
Okay, I think thank you so much. I think there's someone else calling in. Hopefully we'll hear from you again.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Good evening, Amul. Thank you for holding, and thank you for calling us.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. I had questions about mediumship. I have my wife passed away a couple of months ago, and I went through a couple of mediums, but I wasn't too happy. But then I learned about this Forever Family Foundation and their certified mediums. I talked with a couple of them, and they told me that the conversation with the spirit is really essentially one way. They just receive the message and convey it to the client. We really don't ask. That's what I was told, that you don't any ask questions. Is that the way it is? Because my idea was that I can ask questions and get answers, which I would like to ask her. So how does that work? Is that just essentially one way conversation, or is it a two way conversation?
That one's for you, Janet.
Yeah, I was going to say that it kind of works both ways. Actually, you can sometimes, when a medium is working with you, they normally give you what comes through for them from your loved ones, and you can ask something. They may not have that. They may not be able to get that answer, but they can. You know, you can. You can ask questions. It just depends on what, you know, will come through. And it's not just one way, but in a way, I mean, I guess the best way for me to say it is the way that I would personally work is it's what comes through from like a loved one. And that even though you might ask something, it doesn't necessarily mean they will get an answer. Now, you know, there may be something that a medium would share with you that would give you the answer before you even ask the question. Because a lot of times mediums will work in a way that they ask, you know, their loved ones to come through and give you something that's validating, that, you know, something that would relate to you, that, you know, they help you move forward or whatever the situation may be with that. But sometimes they give you something that you might have thought in your head, oh, I had three questions written down and they answered all three and I never asked them. And that happens often with mediums. But as far as you asking and wanting that specific answer, it doesn't really always work like that. It's not that kind of conversation. You could just pick up the phone and say, hey, let me know it. You know, I wanted to know this. It doesn't really work like that. At least for me, I know, and a lot of the mediums I know at Forever Family, it's more that, you know, they come through with information for you. Now, you personally can ask your loved ones for signs or for an answer and see, you know, be open and take notice and see what comes through for that. You know, you can work that way. But if a medium gives you something like that and you're like, oh, well, I really wanted the question like this, it doesn't really work necessarily that way. Do you see what I mean?
So is that because the medium cannot ask the question, or is that because the spirit does not want to answer the question?
No, they can ask. They can ask anything. But the thing is that the connection, it's not always like a phone call connection. It's they have to be open to receive whatever comes through for them. And then they have to share that information with you. And so, you know, you could, okay. You know, say, what's my favorite color? And, you know, they may see something that they might be saying, oh, well, you know, they're coming through with, you know, blue cornflowers. And so that makes me think of blue. And you're like, oh, well, no, I really wanted yellow, you know, and so it doesn't, it's just there could be a difference in what the way a medium sees it as to the answer given to you. But they do share what they can from a loved one. It's just, you know, you can't just list down and say, you know, well, where did you leave this paperwork? Sometimes they might come out and say, you know, it's coming through that for some reason I want to tell you there's this, you know, pack of papers that you need to go through. And, you know, for some reason, I'm seeing it in this box and it's under this table. And you might be like, oh, my gosh, that's what I was going to ask, but I didn't know how to ask it. So you never know what's going to come through. So it's really good to be open to whatever a medium tells you, because sometimes it comes through in a way that you'll get it right away. And other times it might come through where, you know, a couple weeks later, all of a sudden it's like a light bulb goes off like, oh, my gosh, that's what they meant. You know, so I hope that helps a little bit.
Yeah. So now you mentioned that I could also ask a question myself without going to the medium. How is that possible?
When you find a quiet time, sometimes it's like people when they're tired in the evening and they're relaxed and they're sitting in a chair or they're laying in bed and they can ask their loved one a question and say, you know, can you please give me the answer in a way that I will understand it? And sometimes you might have a dream with the answer. Or the next day you might wake up and somebody calls and the answer could come through in all different ways or all different avenues. And all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, that's my answer. I know that's the answer. And so, you know, and then, you know, it kind of validates. It's like they're going to give you validation in some way, but you have to be open to it. And it's not like it's going to, sometimes it will happen right away. Sometimes it takes time, you know, and it could come through in a dream. It could come through in something, you know, you see past, you know, you could be outside and something goes by and, you know, on the side of a van and,
you know, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, that's the answer. You know, I know that's the answer. And so it can happen in multiple ways, but you have to be open to it. And you have to, you know, when you ask the question, don't expect it always to be like black and white. You know, there's many shades in between that it can come through in a way that you will understand it. Okay.
Okay. I see.
Does that help a little bit?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. I'm moving calling in.
Thank you. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, that's bye. Thank you. It is really important to just stay open to, you know, messages from loved ones. They can come through in items. They can come through words. You know, I mean, people have dreams, or you might hear a word. There's so many ways that a loved one can come through, and it's just really important to stay open to it.
Right. And it might be they have something they want to tell you.
Yes.
Too,
yes.
You know.
Right. Yes. Right.
You just suddenly know something. You just suddenly know it.
Right. Right. And I like that. You know, it's good to do it that way. But yes, I just happen to see the time as well. I think it's time to say the prayer.
That's right. Perfect timing, Janet. Thank you in advance.
Okay. So everyone, the Mahayama prayer: may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Janet, and good night, everyone. And we will see you next month, or hear you
next
month.
That's right. Thank you, everyone who called in. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.